This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, and I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to News World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. And you know what? We're going to compliment Lee Zeldin and Republicans here in a moment. We'll talk about the feds blowing our money, corporate environment, all kinds of things. Philadelphia losing its mind, racism by Navy SEALs, and so much more in the final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I had mentioned earlier in the show, kind of in passing, that the GOP was getting better being bold with communists. Not just our elected officials. I see it in my daily life with how people act. You write me emails. Jesse, I stood up to my mom. Jesse, my dad. Jesse, my brother. Somebody at work. We're getting better at being bolder. And there are a lot of reasons for this. I do give Trump and his in-your-face style credit for helping. It helps when the most powerful, influential person on the right acts that way. If you come at him, look, I'll play it again. This was him in that meeting today. NBC, during a meeting with the South African president, they thought they were going to go for another stupid gotcha about the jet from Qatar. And Trump, in the past, the Mitt Romneys of the world, that's something we're having our staff look into. And then, I don't know. I certainly don't want to ever do anything inappropriate. That would have been the GOP way of speaking. Now, you come at me with that garbage, this is what you get.
Mr. President, the Pentagon announced that it would be accepting a Qatari jet to be used as Air Force One.
What are you talking about? You to get out of here. What does this have to do with the Qatari jet? They're giving the United States Air Force a jet, okay? And it's a great thing. We're talking about a lot of other things. It's NBC trying to get off the subject of what you just saw. You are a real, you're a terrible reporter. Number one, you don't have what it takes.
So he just goes on to just crucify the guy. You suck and you're stupid and NBC sucks and this is why you all suck. And maybe you don't love that, right? Maybe that's just not who you are. It's not what you prefer. And I get that too. I totally get it. That's not for everybody. But what is true is you cannot nice your way through dealing with communists. They only understand bold aggression right back at them. If you think you're going to nice your way out of it, they're going to eat you alive. And they have eaten the GOP alive for as long as I've been alive because they are playing hardball. And the GOP, I hope you're going to write a nice story about me in the Washington Post. I'm being very reasonable. I'm trying to answer your questions instead of just understanding the game. And the game is this. You think I'm your mortal enemy. Therefore, you're my mortal enemy. Period. And that's the game we're playing. And I played yesterday a bunch of the Marco Rubio stuff as Marco Rubio, Secretary of State Rubio, he sat in front of the Senate. And you never saw secretaries of state, definitely not GOP ones, act like this in the past. But these senators are telling lies and coming at him. And Rubio's coming right back, both barrels. Remember he told that one guy, Van Hollen? He told him, the gangbanger, like the one you had a margarita with. Right? Oh, go ahead. Good.
In the case of El Salvador, absolutely. Absolutely. We deported gang members. Gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and that and the evidence is going to be clear. In the days to come, you're
Chairman,
going to see who you went to
defend. Senator, I'm sorry, please, Mr. Chairman.
Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated
Senator,
comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor.
And you saw how Van Hollen reacted. Mr. Chairman, basically trying to tattle on him to the teacher. He can't just say that. Why? Well, he's never been spoken to like that by a Republican before. American communists have come up in a system where they are always the only aggressor. They are always the only aggressor. And we're trying to be nice and pat them on the head and do things the right way. And these people don't even know how to react when they get it back. Both barrels. Lee Zeldin is one of the nicest human beings I've ever talked to in my life. You remember Lee Zeldin? New Yorker, really solid human being, but a very nice person. Lee Zeldin, he's the head of the EPA now, sat down in front of Adam Schiff today. Schiff is another one of these guys. He's just not used to it. He's used to running his fat mouth and being the only aggressor. But this new way of speaking to communists, sign me up for it.
Well, by the way, with that wind up, by the way, I understand that you were an aspiring fiction writer. I see why.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand your view that you can cut half of the agency and it won't affect people's health or their water, their air. That, to me, is a big fiction, yeah. Mr. Zeldin.
Listen to Lee Zeldin. That while the senator's speaking to him, Zeldin's just chiming in. Guess you're not worried about the wildfires or anything like. Not laying there taking it. Not trying to be polite. Well, I guess I'll work on that, Mr. Senator. No. What about the wildfires, you stupid communist?
If your children were drinking water in Santa Ana. Mr. Zeldin.
And they're talking over each other so you can't hear him, but not sitting there taking it. He went at it with White House, too, that loser.
The only thing about that is that that's not true.
You don't care about 99% of this story.
That's not true according to your own employee's testimony.
I don't know what to say to you. You're insisting on the fact.
I'm insisting on the facts. That's exactly what I'm insisting on. I'm insisting on the facts, and I now have three different versions of the facts,
including
Department of Justice lawyers
working on this every
single day. Who admitted in court that what you're saying now is not true.
We're not going to waste dollars just because you insist on EPA lighting taxpayer dollars on fire. The American taxpayers, they put President Trump in office because of people like you. They have Republicans in charge of the House and Senate because of people like you. Because you don't care about 99% of this story. You don't want me to go through the list of all the evidence of waste and abuse.
No, what I want you to do.
And conflicts of interest.
What I want you to do.
Unqualified recipients. You don't care about
what I want you to do.
Golly. You've never heard the GOP consistently talk like this before. Neither have I. And I want to again stress, if it's not your style, if you're just one of the more soft-spoken, nice people, you're not wrong. You're not bad. I'm not even going to say you're weak or something like that. But I will say this. This way of speaking is the only way to deal with communists. If you want to deal with them, if you want to oppose them, if you want to stop them, you can't be a shrinking violet when you do it. You can't. And as Jewish producer Chris just pointed out, something we've talked about before on the show, this is the great news. These people, our communists, are unbelievably soft compared to other communists historically. You know, if you were a Bolshevik, if you were one of the communist revolutionaries in Russia, you came up shooting and stabbing and warring with people. That's how you came up. Fights in the streets. Look, Mao, obviously, as you know, I hate his guts. I'm not Anita Dunn. But Mao was a jungle fighter. Mao spent his time at war, a weapon in his hands. Coming up, fighting. America's communists have come up in a system where all of Hollywood is on their side, the whole Democrat Party's on their side, the whole media is on their side, half the Republicans are on their side. They're never, ever, ever challenged in any way, certainly not in any bold way. You can just go around and spew your idiotic, deceptive idiocy all the time without challenge, and you can get bold and you won't get challenged with it. You can just act like an animal and you'll never be put in the cage where you belong. That's how America's communists have always operated. And all it will take, like any bully, all it will take is one time you stand your ground and you give it right back to them, and you'll see they go away. And I've gotten your emails before, and they bless me to no end about you dealing with the communists in your life. And it's amazing how consistent that exact story is. Jesse, my sister used to come into Thanksgiving all the time screaming about this. This year I had enough and I stood up to her. Now she's not coming anymore. She didn't say a word the rest of the time. He left the room and wouldn't come back. They can't deal with it. They've never had to deal with it at all. The American communist is used to being the only aggressor wherever he is. And now that the American right has finally woken up and realized what he's dealing with, and more importantly, how to deal with him, we have made great strides. And I know we have a million miles to go. All the corruption and all the evil and all the stuff out there. I get it. I know that. But we are making good strides, being bolder and better. And maybe you're working on this in your life. Again, it's easy for someone like me who's naturally rude. It's harder for good people and nice people. So maybe it's maybe it takes effort for you. I get that. We'll get there, all of us. Have you been boning up on your history, on your Constitution at all? You know, you can get a free education on the Constitution. You realize that. There's so much there and why things are in there. Have you ever wondered, have you ever read it and wondered, what's that mean? Why is that in there? You ever done that? You know, Hillsdale College offers a free online course about the Constitution. Free. There's no cost. They have more than 40 courses. The Roman Republic, the ancient Christian church, the understanding capitalism, the Constitution, at no cost. Hillsdale has all this knowledge. They're not hiding it all behind a paywall. They're giving it out for free because they want you to know. I want you to know. You want it at no cost? Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Let's talk about Philadelphia. Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're about to talk about Philadelphia in a moment, but did I ever tell you about how dumb Fred is, my dog? I love him. Look, everybody loves him. The whole neighborhood loves him. My whole family loves him. He's just a big, fluffy, pathetic idiot, but he is so dumb. And I've had many dogs before. I don't mean just dumb. I mean dumb for a dog. He's a moron. He's just a complete moron. He can't do anything. We'll be out for a walk, and he, if there's a rabbit, we'll practically have to trip on it before he sees it. And even then, sometimes he misses it. We had a rabbit run practically right underneath him before, and he didn't see it. What, Chris? Yes, he's half golden retriever, and he's half poodle. Both those are water dogs, famous water dogs. Fred is afraid of the water. I don't even know. Like, I don't know whether we got a bad batch. Or he's just a big idiot. He's a moron. And on top of all the other things Fred can't do, this will come back to Philadelphia, Fred can't smell things. I don't know what kind of a dog can't smell, but he loves table scraps as much as the next man. My youngest son infamously slips his vegetables to Fred under the table. Fred always gets a French fry or something like that. But sometimes, I'm not making this up, you will drop a piece of food on the floor and you'll call Fred over, a little piece of meat or something like that. He can't find it. You have to lean down. This is a regular occurrence. You have to lean down and you have to point to the piece of bacon and say, Fred, here. And if you direct him directly to it, he'll eventually find it and lick it up. And so it doesn't do any good to yell at him about it. He can't help it. He's an idiot. And so what I'm about to say may fall on deaf ears, because I realize, look, I'm looking at an article here. More than half of adult Philadelphians are functionally illiterate. That's from Philly Mag. So maybe this is falling on deaf ears, but I love Philadelphia. I know I'm supposed to hate it. It's such a cool place. And the restaurants are good. And look, I like it. And I'm very frustrated right now, so I'm going to try not to be too insulting, because Philadelphia has had a DA, a district attorney, one of these Soros types. His name's Larry Krasner. Larry Krasner, like all communists, wants more murderers and rapists and thieves on the streets. He wants more violent crime. It's not an accident. He's not soft on crime. He wants more violence. And since he's taken over as DA, he has made that happen. He has brought horrible amounts of violence and chaos to Philadelphia. And last night, he had a primary. And the people of Philadelphia had an opportunity to stop the man who's creating the madness. And the people of Philadelphia went out to the polls and voted for Larry Krasner again. And I'm really struggling right now with what to do about this, because I considered just losing my mind, because that's how angry I am about this, that this kind of stuff happens and that voters continue to vote against their own best interests. But then I think about the article about it being functionally illiterate. And more importantly, I think about Fred. Should I pull out the newspaper and give Fred a whipping because he can't smell the piece of bacon? No, he's just too dumb. He can't do it. Maybe the voters, not all the people, but maybe the people who vote in Philadelphia are just too dumb to save themselves. Maybe it comes down to it. It really boggles my mind that you can watch a great American city. You can watch the murder rise, and you can just watch the anarchy in the streets, and you can go to the polls and vote for more of it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm frustrated. But this is what I tell you. This is what you say to your Democrat friends in blue areas when they complain. If you know a Democrat in Philadelphia, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this moment, because the next time you get with your brother who votes Democrat all the time from Philly, the next time he complains about his car getting broken into, his buddy got mugged, somebody knows got murdered, I want you to know that all you need is four little words, four magical words. You voted for this. These Democrats in these urban areas who vote to burn it down repeatedly, and then they always have a complaint. I can't believe the roads aren't paved. I can't believe the schools aren't better. I can't believe they didn't catch that thief. I can't believe you're the reason it's happening, you complete moron. Stop voting for Democrats. Stop voting for Democrats. Stop voting for Democrats. You're an idiot, and you're an author of your own pain. But, you know, why even bother? Why even bother? I'm going to move on and talk about other stuff. In fact, we're going to talk about corporate America, because I'm not going to waste my breath. It's like screaming at Fred about the bacon. It doesn't do any good. He can only do what he can do. He's got two brain cells. If he's lucky, he's afraid of the water. He can't smell. He can't hear. He can't see. He's only good for love and affection and trying to bite burglars' heads off. That's the only thing he's good for. If he can even find them, by the way. If the burglar's covered in bacon, Fred probably won't know you're there. Probably masked the scent or something like that. God, jeez. Anyway, did you get any gold? Have you protected your retirement account yet? When I talk to you about Gold Co., I don't want you to think that this is some long, brutal, complicated process, because it kind of sounds like that, right? You've got a 401k, but Jesse, I've got a 401k. It's through my work. You don't understand. Gold Co.'s won numerous awards for a reason. White glove customer service. A-plus rated from the Better Business Bureau. They make it easy. They will get precious metals into your retirement to make sure you don't lose it all. And it's really, really easy. You know me. You know I don't do all the phone, technology, computer stuff. I'm stunned at how easy it was. They'll make it easy. Give them a call. You'll find out how easy it is. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. All right? All right. The Office, next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
This is Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House and a proud American citizen. I'm celebrating America's 250th birthday on my podcast, Newt's World, with 15 special episodes. And I've got some great guests. Walter Isaacson, Jonathan Turley, Brett Baer.
I will be working because it's a big, big day. I'll be in Washington and have all kinds of coverage through the day of America 250.
Rachel Compostuffy.
There's nothing like American music. We're the home of rock and roll. We're the home of rap. We're the home of pop music.
Eric Metaxas. Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
The story of the national anthem and the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Join me and let's celebrate America's 250. Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful hump day, a Wednesday. So I want to touch base on a couple things before I get to the emails here. We're about to deal with racist memes from Navy SEALs. But first, there's an article out from Odyssey. Office employees are interrupted by meetings every 2 minutes. So this is going to be my point of this. It's not going to be about really complaints about the office, although that's part of it. This is my complaint about the corporate world in general. All right. Human beings, we have jobs. Everybody has a job. I take that back. Republicans have jobs. All right. You have jobs. You want a job. You want to work. You want to feed your family, buy a car, buy a steak, take the lady to Red Lobster. You know what I mean. You have a job, okay? And our jobs are obviously important because you need money. You got to have money to live. You need money. So you want to keep your job. But here's the problem. When that's your mentality, it can turn into something ugly. It can turn into something great, or it can turn into something ugly. By great, here's a great way that can turn out. I love my job. I want to keep my job. Therefore, I'm going to get really, really good at my job. I'm going to become indispensable. Therefore, I'm so good that I will never be fired because I contribute so much to this company. They can't fire me, and even if they do make the mistake of firing me, their competitor will hire me in 5 minutes because I am so valuable. That's a good way that can turn out. But there's a bad way that can turn out, and here's the bad way. The bad way is I want to appear to be doing something to justify my existence, and that is a large percentage of corporate America. I've seen it a million times. Everybody needs a meeting. We got to have a meeting. Let me put this on a group email, and we'll put a group email out, and we'll have a meeting. 99% of the group emails in corporate America should be one email to one person. And 99% of the meetings where everybody has to get together, and then, of course, everybody, when you have a group meeting, everybody feels like they have to say something. Otherwise, you don't want to be thought of as the one who doesn't do anything. So the meeting that should be 5 minutes long or 10 minutes long is 3 hours long because Susie had to say something, and Bill had to say something, and Larry had to chime in at the end. Because everybody wants to chime in and act like they're contributing something when they're not contributing anything at all. And a lot of this stems from the lack of boldness in leadership in this country. Because when you're in charge, let's say you're a middle manager, you're a middle manager of something, you may be tempted when given a task from the bosses up above to set out a big group meeting, conference room at 1:30. We'll have Jimmy John's there, which sucks because they don't have hot sandwiches. We're going to get Jimmy John's there and we're going to work out this sales problem. But you know what, Bill? You don't need a group meeting. You don't need Jimmy John's. You need to call one person into your office and say, make something happen now. Get it done. I'll work with you. That's the goal. Goodbye. But people don't do that. They set up meetings just to set up meetings. And then once the meeting is set up, the people who attend the meeting feel like they have to contribute something to the meeting. The last time I was in one of these, it was actually political. And I'm going to leave out all the names, and I'm going to leave out, well, I'm going to leave out virtually every detail, okay? But this was 2 or 3 years ago, I would say. And I get invited to a meeting. The meeting is with a politician. I show up. I'm not the only one there. I'm not the only one who's been invited to the meeting. There are about 20 of us in the meeting. Okay, already, I'm skeptical. And it was about a fairly simple piece of legislation that the guy was thinking about. It was worried about messaging on it and what the right way to go about it was. This should have been either no meeting at all, you make a decision and go, or one meeting with one guy. Instead, for 4 hours, I sat there in this room watching all 20 people who were invited have to offer their input about this and their input about that and their input about this. And no, I think you should do this, but what about that? And, beep, 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 beep. And at the end of the 4 hours, nobody was better off, including the politician who'd been given 8,000 different pieces of advice from the different people who were there. Nothing was gained whatsoever. Time was most definitely lost. And in case you're wondering, I didn't say a freaking word. I sat in the corner the whole time, and I just marveled at the complete ineptitude of the entire affair, and I left the second it was over as fast as I could possibly leave, and I never returned, and I got invited to another one, and I told him, you can take your invitation and shove it. I'd rather die. And Chris is laughing right now because he probably knows exactly what I'm talking about, because I'm not going. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Absolutely not. Stop having meetings. Get some leadership, assign responsibility, demand results. There you go. You're done. You don't need another meeting, I promise. And no, Susie, you don't have to say something. You can sit there and shut up and eat the Jimmy John's. Well, not Jimmy John's. I don't want you to have to do that. Eat something decent. All right? Now, as long as I'm offending everybody, let's just go ahead and do this one here. There's a story out of the AP that Navy SEALs are being being investigated. Why are they being investigated? Because they were passing around racist memes about a black guy, a black sailor in their platoon. Apparently they made him up to be a slave or something like that. So it's obviously as offensive and inappropriate and all that stuff as it gets. So I'm just going to come out and offend everyone and go ahead and say this. That's how infantry units are. And it's not against one race. It's against every race. The white people get it. The black people get it. The Mexicans get it. The Guatemalans get it. Any Asian gets it the worst. It is by far, the most racially insensitive environment on the planet. And it should be. You realize that? It should be. We used to say the worst things you can imagine to each other, the worst things you can imagine in my platoon, because we had everybody, right? White, black, you name it, we had it. And we loved each other to death, and we would die for each other. But if you were the sensitive type, oh boy, you're either going to leave our Marine Corps platoon or you're going to toughen up real fast. And that's half the point of it, to get your skin thickened up and to see who can take it and who cannot take it. I don't even know what exactly the meme was, and I'm not even defending this particular thing because I don't know. But I saw this and I burst out laughing, because every single vet I am friends to this day, one of my best friends who was part of my, he was 1st Battalion, 7th Marines Alpha Company, he's a black guy. One of my best friends sends me the meanest, most racist memes you've ever seen in your life about everyone. He'll send it to me about white people all the time, and he thinks it's hilarious. He calls me a cracker and all these other things. And he'll send it to me about black people, about anything, you name it, because he thinks it's funny. And that's how it is. And every single dude in the infantry listening to me right now is laughing. If you're in or were in, you know it's true. They're all laughing because that's how we talk to each other. You don't need yet another investigation. You pull them in and say, hey, idiot, don't text that to somebody. Goodbye. Go do some push-ups. And you call it a freaking day. And guess what? It was always that way. Alexander the Great's army, same thing. Guarantee it. It was always that way. That's how dudes are when they get together. Period. End of story. Now, also, we should save a life. Period. End of story. What does matter is not anybody's sensitive feels. What does matter is saving the lives of people who can't save themselves. That's what matters. Preborn, they have the most blessed mission on earth. They're saving babies. Unborn babies. Because unborn babies can't fight for themselves. They can't speak for themselves. An unborn baby is completely defenseless. If a mother decides she's going to kill it in this country, sadly, she can. It's very easy. So how do you fight back against that? You give her an ultrasound for free. You say, hey, before you do that, hey, just come in. Free ultrasound. It's on us. Doesn't cost you a thing. When a mother hears the baby's heartbeat, she always chooses life. Not always, but almost every single time. It's miraculous. That ultrasound costs $28. Preborn's network of clinics, saving lives, over 200 a day because of you. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, and I need to do something that I do not do. Well, I don't think I've ever done this on this show. We just did a segment, and I feel like I owe an apology. I have to publicly apologize, and you know that's not really my thing, but I have to apologize. I said that Jimmy John's did not have toasted subs. And Jewish producer Chris went digging, and apparently I misspoke. Jimmy John's heard the American people, and they have introduced toasted subs. I'm looking at that right now. Apparently they even have a toasted Italian, Chris, with capicola. Can you people eat capicola? Is it pork? Is it pork? It is pork? I keep asking. Well, maybe I'm hoping for you, Chris. I'm sorry for wanting the best for you. Anyway, I apologize. I apologize to you. I apologize to Jimmy John's. I had no idea they woke up and they saw the light and they realized that we're not Somalia. I don't have to eat a cold sandwich. In fact, unless it's a peanut butter and jelly or something. I'm an American. I should never eat a cold sandwich. Once the toasted sandwich was introduced, once we figured out you can heat up the meat, you can melt the cheese, there's never a reason to have a cold sandwich again, ever. Unless you're in a hike in the mountains or something like that.
If you're in civilization, toasted or bust. And Jimmy John's realized that. And I did not know it. Because I'd never gone, Chris. In my defense, every time I'd walked in one time, I looked at the menu, and I even asked the guy, I said, where's the hot stuff? Oh, we don't have that here. I turned around, walked out. Never went back. Never even looked back, Chris. What? That's a heartfelt apology. I mean it. I'm dead serious. Oh, something that actually is heartfelt. Chris reminded me of this. And actually, I was just thinking about Tunnel to Towers. So I should have said something earlier in the show. I'll try to remember to remind you tomorrow. I'll try to remember to remind you. Either way, Monday, as you know, is Memorial Day. We will be here as we are every single Memorial Day. We are going to be here for 3 hours. We are going to honor the fallen. There will not be politics. There probably won't be much joking around, which I know is kind of different for our show, but it's a day I take very, very seriously. We believe on this show that we should show up and honor the fallen on that day. And so I'm going to do this year what I've done every single year. If you have somebody you know who has fallen in combat, who has given his life for this country, and you email in his name, rank, and conflict, name, rank, and conflict, I will do the best I can to read that name aloud on the air. We usually try to to spread it out throughout the show, because I can't just sit and read, you know, 200 names or whatever it is right off the bat. But I try. I think I've got to every name every year, right, Chris? But I remember last year there were a lot and it became a struggle. But no matter what, I am going to try to get to every name. So if there is somebody in your life who died in combat, we want to honor them by at least saying their name. We'll play taps for you know, groups at a time. We'll play taps for them on Memorial Day. That is a sacred day in this country where we honor the fallen and we show respect to the families they left behind. Name, rank, conflict. Name, rank, conflict. All right? I'm asking, you can write me what you want, especially if it's someone close to you. Don't write me an encyclopedia, because we're going to have to sift through. There's a lot to sift through, right? There's a lot now. It used to be easier when no one listened, Chris, but it's more difficult now. Name, rank, conflict, and we will do the best I can. Unless I am sick or injured, I will be in this chair on Monday live, and we will do a Memorial Day show. Chris, do we even have ads that day? No, there aren't even any ads that day. It's just honoring the fallen. By the way, which leads me perfectly into Tunnel to Towers, and this is an ad, and it matters a lot. Tunnel to Towers honors the fallen every day. Every single day. They're out there caring for the widows and orphans left behind. Fallen first responders and people who died in Iraq, Afghanistan, gave up their lives for this country. I know if I died for this country, I would want someone to care for my wife and my kids. Tunnel to Towers is out there helping for $11 a month. That's all they've ever asked for. And go look up their charity rating. There's all kinds of help the veteran charities, which are huge scams. Go look up Tunnel to Towers and their charity rating. When they say they're helping the fallen, honoring the fallen, I should say, that's what they're doing. T2T.org. T2T.org. All right? That's a good way to honor the fallen, caring for the ones they left behind. All right. Let's one more time enjoy Donald Trump beating up on, well, the South African president.
I would say if there was Afrikaner farmer genocide, I can bet you these three gentlemen would not be here, including my Minister of Agriculture. He would not be with me.
Excuse me, turn the lights down. Turn the lights down and just put this on. It's right behind you.
Tells him to turn the lights down and place a 4-minute video of genocide.
Now this is very bad. These are burial sites right here. Burial sites. Over 1,000. of white farmers.
Have they told you where that is, Mr. President? No, I'd like to know where that is, because this I've never seen.
I mean, it's in South Africa.
Mr. President, the Pentagon announced they will be accepting a Qatari jet to be used as Air Force One.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
You know, you ought to get out of here. What does this have to do with the Qatari jet? They're giving the United States Air Force a jet, okay? And it's a great thing. We're talking about a lot of other things. It's NBC trying to get off the subject of what you just saw. You're a terrible reporter. Number one, you don't have what it takes to be a reporter. You're not smart enough. But for you to go into a...
I'm sorry. It was just too funny.
And now...
Here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Highly enriched uranium standoff may scuttle the new Iran deal. Remember that conversation we had about how it gets into the bones? I think Iran getting a nuclear weapon might be in the bones. That's not good. New York man offered farmer wild turkey bourbon to let him feed girlfriend's ex to the hogs. I just wanted to read the headline. That's amazing. Comey's 8647 post opened floodgates for copycat threats against public figures. Oh, good. More communist violence. Dang, we're out of time. We'll do it again tomorrow. That's all.
On Newt's World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. And I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors, along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.